Is it on? Okay. It's on. Isn't or
is?
Okay. Hey, let's turn to the book of James, and we will be reading verses 7 through 12, and be emphasizing those verses this evening. Let's read this, and then we have some comments we want to make. James chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird or of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made of the likeness of God. From the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. One of the things I'm really impressed with by the book of James is that James has such a great vast knowledge of a whole variety of things. James is well-versed in nature. He's well-versed in the observations of people and studying people and what people do, how people act, how people react. And I think this passage illustrates that as well as anything. I think one of the things, too, that James is able to do for us is he is able to draw contrasts. As James teaches, we notice again and again and again the contrast that he gives us. And I think the passage that we just read will illustrate that. You know, you're going to get fresh and salt water from the same place. You're going to plant fig trees and have olives. He said there are a variety of things he talks about. He also talks about, in verse 9, he talks about that we are created in the likeness of God. And I think James has made that observation that we should act like we are in the likeness of God. I think there's a reason he puts this in here. I think there's a reason that he is inspired by the Spirit to write this. And I believe that reason is that as believers, we are to absolutely live in accordance with the likeness of God. Obviously, we can't be God. We're not God. But we are created in God's image. And James emphasizes that. So, as we read through the book of James, as we study the book of James, a couple of things for us to keep in mind. One, we're studying contrasts that James makes. And second, we are to live in the likeness of God. So we're going to be pointing toward those things as we look at a couple of other things that you may say, well, you know, what's that got to do with anything? But I want to transition back to verse 6. Verse 6 talks about the fire, the tongue is a fire, the tongue is as a member of many times of unrighteousness. But I want us to think about what fire can do. I want us to think about what advantages we have with fire. There's a song, I promised my Sunday school class this morning I won't sing this tonight, so if you know me very well, you know why. The same reason Gary's not going to be singing with me, too. Back in the 1970s, 1980s, there was a very popular Christian song, and I haven't heard it in a long time. Maybe I just haven't been listening to the right places, but the song is called Pass It On. And the lyrics go like this. It only takes a spark, and here we have the spark, the fire, to get a fire going. And soon all those around will warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. Fire can be very useful. Fire can be very damaging. Look at the fires in California and the destruction there, for example. It tells you what fires can do. But yet, if we have the fire in our hearts, if we have the fire and the desire in our hearts to serve God, that's a good form of fire, isn't it? That's a positive form of fire. That's a positive thing. And I think we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that we can live in the light of God's fire in serving Him. And as James says, and we repeat again, James says there are people who can't control their tongues. And their tongues are like a burning fire, and they're destructive, and they destroy things. So we need to, I think, keep those things in mind as we consider the book of James and what he is saying here. James gives us a powerful lesson on how people can use fire in a positive way and in a negative way. And keep in mind that James is teaching by contrast. There's an interesting historical note that I want to give to you. I think it's kind of interesting as far as teaching in contrast. We can study people, and James, as I already said, was a real student of human nature. He was very studious as far as understanding people and reading people. Back in, an example from American history, back in 1814, 1815, two famous, important statesmen were sent to the city of Ghent in Belgium, an ancient city in the land of Belgium, to negotiate the end of the War of 1812. And it's interesting to look at the contrast between these two people. And you say, well, again, why does that come? Why does this have anything to do with the book of James? The book of James, I think, really emphasizes for us how people can be different, how people can be contrasted. The two people we're talking about, Henry Clay and John Quincy Adams. Henry Clay was a hard-nosed, hard-living, hard-drinking Westerner from Kentucky. John Quincy Adams was a rock-solid Massachusetts Calvinist with a deep desire to serve God and to do what was right in his personal and political life. It's often said, the story has often been told, that Henry Clay would be coming in from a night of gambling and drinking scotch and so forth. And John Quincy Adams would be getting up at the same time that Henry Clay is coming in. John Quincy Adams got up every day, spent an hour reading God's Word. Spent an hour a day reading the Word of God. And then after he did that, he went out and did his exercising. He was very exercise conscious. You have two contrasts. You have two people doing the same thing, trying to establish the United States as a strong nation, trying to complete the negotiations to end the War of 1812. You had these two people, and yet they're so contrasted, they're so different. And I think James is, while obviously not using this example, but while that James is teaching us that we need to use contrast to determine how people are living, whether people are living in accordance with God's will and so forth. And so I think it's an interesting study to think about how we can study people through contrast with other people. And James was certainly skilled at doing that. James was a dynamic preacher. And he preached fervently, and you can hear the fervency coming through in his messages. He preached fervently from the Word of God. He had learned his lessons in life in the hard-scrabble streets of Nazareth. a rural backwater community with very little prosperity. And yet he studied people, he observed people, and he recognized how God could use people and how God could deal with people. And James then used what he saw. He used the events that he saw. He used the people he saw. He used the animals he saw. He used the machinery, whatever was there that he used. He was able to gain a great deal of knowledge and understanding. We have the contrasts of the tongue being a deadly poison. We have contrast of the fresh water and salt water, fig trees and olives, grapevine and the figs, salt pond and fresh water. He uses all these as examples of how people live, of how people studied, of how people in his church learn God's word. Now, how do we apply this to our practice, to our lives today? I think there are several things we need to do. First of all, we need to know God's word. James knew God's word. James knew the word of God as well as anybody. He was in positions of leadership. He would not have been in those positions of leadership, Council of Jerusalem and things like that, had he not gained a real knowledge of God's word. Second, we need to live our lives by God's order. God gives us an order in the home, in the church, in the family, gives us a political order. We have order in how we are to live. God gives us the order in which we are to live our lives in accordance with His plan. Third, need to realize that we can use only blessing in our speech. Remember, we are not to speak in a way that is disparaging of other people. We are not to have blessing and cursing coming out of our mouths at the same time. So we are to use blessing in our speech. And we are to live, and coming back to the beginning, we are to live in the image of God. We're to know God's word. We are to live our lives by God's order. We are to speak blessings. We are to live in the image of God. James teaches us, by the effective use of contrast, how we can know what God wants us to do and how we can serve God as we seek to live in His image.